Cape Talk, fabulous life.
Well, I can't believe it's the last Tuesday of the month already, and it's time to welcome back our style and design guru, Bianca Reznikov. Lovely to have you with us.
I feel like it's been a long time.
It does feel forever. But of course, we couldn't not talk about the big wedding dress. Bianca, it was a given that that would be on the table today, and we are going to spend quite a lot of time focusing on bridal wear and the impact of Meghan Markle's choices. But before we get to that, let's chat a little bit of design and style news.
Okay, well, one of South Africa's most beloved designers, Carol Boyes, has developed a chocolate range. They come in sort of Forrest Gumpish boxes, and they have varieties of dark chocolate, milk chocolate, all different fillings. I have tasted them, and I can vouch for their deliciousness.
The things you must do in the service of your job, Bianca.
But what is the most wonderful thing about them is they're shaped into these beautiful Carol Boyes forms, and each one is really a special creation.
Okay, because that was going to be my question. I mean, Carol Boyes we associate with the beautiful metal work with wonderful shaping and styles, but quite something different to move into the food space. So you're saying to me the design of the chocolates themselves is a work of art?
In the molds of what, okay. Obviously Carol has designed these tiny little molds, you can just picture them, and they're beautiful. It's almost a pity to eat them, really. But they cost 99 rand a box, and they're available at Carol Boyes stores nationwide or online. And Carol is with two R's and Boyes, of course.
Okay, so the website, if you'd like to take a look online, carolboyes.com. And the flavor sounds, I mean, it sounds all very grown up and divine. Coffee ganache and cherry dark ganache and mint and
orange.
Beautiful flavors. Mm. Can't wait to give it a bite soon. Okay. And then should we talk a little bit about the traveling exhibition you've picked up for us
this
week?
Yes, it's in its fifth year, the PCC Imaginarium Traveling Exhibition. It's on at the AVA Gallery, which is in Church Street, number 35 Church Street, until the 14th of June, before it moves on to the Turbine Art Fair in July, and then 100% Design in Joburg in August. So it's worth having a little look at it. For those of you who don't know, the Imaginarium highlights top emerging artists and designers, inviting them to design in concrete, but obviously in their medium, so okay. in their style. So it ranges from fashion, jewelry, to film and architecture and industrial design, and it's worth checking out. It's quite something to see a piece of, you know, cement earrings.
Okay, wow. I can't wait to take a look. And I'm assuming AVA will be part of First Thursday, so at the beginning of June?
Exactly. So that's also an exciting thing to do on First Thursdays.
Okay, thanks for the tip-off. Now, Bianca, we mentioned a week or two ago the news that came as quite a surprise to some and not a surprise at all to others, that just a couple of months after the opening of the Zeitz-Mocha Museum, the founding curator was gone. And we didn't know very much at the time. All we heard was that Mark Kutsia had resigned after an inquiry had been opened into his professional conduct, and that an acting curator had been put in place. Do we know any more about what has happened?
Well, there's a cloud of mystery and secrecy and non-disclosure that is surrounding the resignation. But there was, as you said, an inquiry into his professional conduct, and staff obviously had come forward, and there were problems, and there are rumors allegedly he was abusing his power in ways. Mm-hmm. We won't know more about that just yet, but I suppose it will start trickling out. But the curatorship is now in the capable hands of Nigerian-born Azu Nwagbogo, who's also the director of the online journal Art Base Africa. So art enthusiasts can keep an eye on that.
Okay, and also just to note that the museum is introducing live jazz events. There's live jazz at Zeitz-Mocha this coming first Friday. So that's this week, the first Friday in June.
Exactly, and there's all sorts of things going on there all the time, exhibitions and free entry on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it's really worth going to check out, if not just for the art, just for the building itself.
I haven't been back since the opening, and I'm actually dying to get back because, first of all, I didn't get enough time to see all of it for the first visit. And there is a continually rotating range of art. It's not a once you've seen it, you've seen it.
I think there is an in situ permanent exhibition for a period of time, but they're all the time on new things going on.
Okay, thanks so much, Bianca. All right, let's move on to what everybody really wants to talk about, which is the royal wedding dress. And I have to confess at this point, so before the royal wedding, Bianca, I was a little bit skeptical. I'm not a royalist. I don't subscribe to that at all. And I wasn't intending to watch, but and I went off and did something else. And then I came home and flicked on the TV in the back background and lost the rest of the afternoon because, of course, I was drawn in and the music was beautiful and the flowers were beautiful, but the dress was exquisite. We're going to have a conversation about just how influential that dress may be and what it could mean for other brides. Over to you, Bianca.
Okay, well, we have invited Elbeth Gillis, who is a world-renowned bridal designer but born and bred in Cape Town. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us, Elbeth.
Before we talk about the Meghan's dress, or rather the Duchess of Sussex dress, tell us a little bit about how you got into the bridal industry.
Well, since I was 12, I knew I wanted to be a fashion designer. It's been my lifelong dream, basically. Mm-hmm. I then studied fashion design. I grew up in a house where my mother sewed. She made all our dresses. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And then as I was studying, I realized I loved doing more couture and more bridal. General day wear wasn't really my thing. I did work as a children's wear designer after finished studying because, you know, you have to take the job you can get. Yeah. And then eventually about 6 years later, I started my own business and started going into bridal wear. And that's now more than 20 years ago.
And you have 10 people working under you, seamstresses and beaders and all sorts of designers.
Yes, I do. I've got 4 seamstresses, 4 beaders, and they're all listening. Hello. And also my assistant, who's a designer, and then another young designer who's helping us out as well.
Now, my husband and I got married in winter, which is seen as unusual. Are brides still getting married in spring and summer in South Africa and abroad?
Yes, mostly. It's still pretty much the summer wedding. Definitely in South Africa, most girls do get married in summer, even though our winters really aren't that bad and you really can get married and have a beautiful winter wedding.
So is winter spent designing and planning for the big day?
It is, but because we export to the UK, our winter is their summer, and therefore we are now delivering for their summer brides at the moment. So we're pretty much busy all year round, and designing kind of happens constantly and in between.
Okay, so let's talk about the dress. Will this simple choice that Meghan Markle made, this Givenchy boat neckline, 3/4 sleeve, the use of silk, the very white dress, and of course the simple lines, is this going to influence brides to come, or was this trend already happening?
The trend has been coming through very slowly already. It's something that started coming through probably towards the end of last year, the very pared-down classic look. And I think it's just going to become more and more popular now. She looked so beautiful. And I think a lot of the, especially younger brides, are going to take a lot of inspiration from this, wanting to go for the more classic look.
Now, this is interesting because I spoke to a lot of different groups of people after the wedding. Mm-hmm. And most of my contemporaries were a little kind of underwhelmed and disappointed and wanted something more. Maybe
the big princess dress.
Not necessarily the big, but maybe something more fitted or something with lace, the simplicity. But then yet when I speak to my younger colleagues, they all loved it. So is this maybe a trend that I'm missing? Not sure. What about the fit of the dress?
It is, yes, it is a very fashion-forward choice that she made, and a very bold choice. She is obviously a very confident young woman to choose something like that, especially if you're getting married on a world stage. Mm. The fit, yes, I know there's a lot of talk about the fits everywhere, and people were unhappy with the fact that it wasn't more tightly fitted.
It looked a little big at times.
It depended on how she moved. I think it was the look of the dress. Mm. It's the type of fabric that they used. It doesn't have a stretch in it. I think these days we are so used to seeing all these bodycon dresses made out of fabric that has got a lot of stretch, that silk isn't a particularly stretchy fabric.
It's called a double bonded silk. Is that correct?
Yes, it was a double bonded silk crepe. And so in order for her to be able to move easily, it couldn't be that tight.
Mm. I also think that that's appropriate given the platform that she was on. It would have been, to my mind, inappropriate for her to emerge in a really tight-fitting, sculpted. I don't know if I'm being an old fuddy-duddy in saying that, but to me, I just think she got it just right. She got the tone of her look so right for who she was marrying, where she was getting married, who she was getting married in front of. I thought she absolutely nailed it.
What about the fact that it was a second marriage? Is this something that brides have to consider when they're getting married?
Well, I don't
think... You know, it's the second dress that she's designing.
I love that it was... I mean, it's your second wedding should be as important as the first. So why not make... particularly given, again, the scale of what she was entering into. I certainly didn't have any issue with that. And I haven't heard anybody who's complained about that.
What about the fact that she was wearing this very elaborate headdress? Does one have to choose a focus when one's designing a dress? If you're wearing an elaborate, very, you know, sparkly tiara that she was wearing from the 1930s, I think it was Queen Mary's tiara, bandeau tiara, and that very dramatic veil that she had on, was that a choice, do you think, she had to make, design-wise?
I definitely think so. I think she chose the tiara. Well, she had access to the crown jewels. We don't.
Most of us don't.
We don't. And then with that tiara, if she had worn a dress that was heavily embellished, it would have just looked too over the top. And it actually looked beautiful. All the focus was on this tiara and the fact that she had incorporated the flowers from all the Commonwealth countries in that beautiful hand-embroidered veil.
I love the veil.
It showed some sort of respect to the United Kingdom, to the royal family. And I think it was very well thought out.
I can't believe we haven't had any voice notes from listeners telling us what they thought of the dress. So perhaps I should invite you to let us know if you'd like to leave a message on 072-567-1567. Do you agree with what you're hearing? Do you disagree with us? Do you think she got it wrong? Do you think she got it spectacularly right? What would you have changed? Are you a potential bride who is planning your own wedding and does it impact you? There we go. Penny on the WhatsApp saying, I didn't like the dress at all. You can never please all of the people all of the time, and fair enough, people have differing tastes. So Penny, thank you for sharing your opinion with us. I hope some more listeners will do the same. I want to talk about that veil because I don't know that people who are not from a fashion background quite appreciate the amount of work that went into that hand detail. Elpeth, you know better than others. Can you try and put it into words for us?
Yes, that must have taken countless hours. I read somewhere that they had all the seamstresses who were busy hand scissors and hand embroidered veil. They had to wash their hands every half an hour in order to keep this all pristine and white. And it must have just, I don't even know how many hours it would have taken to embroider that.
Are brides these days still sentimental, incorporate, you know, she had the countries of the Commonwealth.
Yes.
There was wheat embroidered on it to represent charity. Are brides these days still sentimental? Are they incorporating the old with the new, or is everything new?
Sometimes they do. We often have brides who use a little piece of their mother's wedding dress. Sometimes we would sew it on the inside of the dress. Sometimes we would use fabric from the mother's dress. I often actually have girls who bring in either granny's dress or mother's dress, and we would remake it for them, restyle it, modernize it. And that is very sentimental, and it's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to do.
So I had my cousin gave me a button off her very 1980s dress. I had been her bridesmaid at that wedding, so she gave me a button and a little sachet that was sewed into my dress when I got married, and that was my something old. Do we still do something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue?
Yes, most brides definitely still do that. So there's always this thought about what am I borrowing?
Yes, my blue was the garter because nobody wants to put blue on the wedding dress.
My mother actually found my wedding dress in a secondhand shop in Weinberg, and it was in her cupboard, and then we transformed it. But so my everything was old.
I'm all for that, and I'm sorry, I don't want to put Elbeth out of business, but I went to a rental shop to get some ideas, and I went with my mom and said, let's go and look, let's try on, let's see what we like and don't like, and then we can plan, because we had a designer who was going to do the dress. And the first dress I tried on, I loved so much, I just said, there's no point looking any further, we'll take it. So I ended up hiring my dress, and the nice part was I gave it back the next day, never had to think of it again, and obviously it was cost effective.
And did they have to fit it to
it was fitted. It was fitted. It was dry cleaned before I wore it. Steam cleaned. I think it was fitted to me and quite easily because it had a sort of a lace up element to it. So that made it easier. But I was quite absolutely happy with that. And I wonder if that's also something that a lot of people consider these days, hiring rather than buying or having one custom made. All right, we've got some people responding now on the SMS and voice notes as well as a call. So let me start with the naysayers. Dom saying the fit was terrible, the waist too high, the bust line non-existent, the armholes creasing, my bodice was underwhelming, says Dom. Cynthia also thought the dress didn't fit and it was too long. The poor soul was tripping up. I think Heather on the line from Newlands is going to disagree, and quite vehemently. Heather, good afternoon.
Hello. I thought she looked absolutely stunning. She was making a very strong point. A, she walked halfway up the aisle on her own with all those little girls and boys following her, and they were all perfect. She's a modern duchess now. But she brought back the old part by having part of Queen Mary's collection, the tiara, on the head. If she'd had anything more fussy, it wouldn't have worked out.
I agree with you, Heather. I think she got that balance just right between the very elaborate headdress and the very simple, elegant dress. I thought she looked absolutely fabulous. And the one thing I loved almost more than the dress was the way she did her makeup that looked like she almost wasn't wearing any at all. Got a couple of voice notes to take a listen to. Let's hear those.
Good afternoon, ladies. From a guy's perspective, I think she's nailed it. With all the comments that are made, I think it's also synonymous to her character. It was plain, simple, yet very, very elegant. And I think she nailed it.
Hi, Pippa. I thought Meghan Markle looked absolutely spectacular. Everything about her outfit, from her dress to her veil to her tiara, was perfect. She had no jewelry on around her neck, which was perfect because the tiara topped it all. And that beautiful veil, I think she looked every bit a queen, never mind a princess. She looked beautiful.
Hi, Pippa. Daniel here. I didn't watch the wedding. I didn't know anything about a dress or tiara or whatever. I just saw the video clip of that little girl who was distraught because she wasn't being invited to Meghan's wedding. And in the end, when it was only for princesses, she was even more distraught the fact that she was no longer a princess, but that she deserves to get invited for a tea with the two of them. Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you haven't seen the video clip that he's referring to, do yourself a favor and just Google little girl disappointed over royal wedding. It is absolutely priceless. Aziza on the SMS line thinks the stunning tiara and veil and the classic plain dress were very classy and very beautiful. Sue asking, how could anyone not have loved the dress? It was absolutely beautiful. The makeup, I mean, part of the look, I'm interested to know, Elbeth, is that a trend as well, that it's not suddenly a case of piling on the makeup and making yourself look like somebody you're not? Is there more of a trend to a more natural look?
I think so. It's also something that started coming in quite recently. I think we've been bombarded with the very overly made up look, with all the contouring and the eyebrows and the whole Instagram thing that everyone's been going on. And I think it's beautiful that she didn't cover her freckles. She looked so lovely and it was so natural. And she's such a beautiful woman. Why would she need to plaster on lots of makeup?
I think it's important to look like yourself. And be the individual that you are. And that includes your body type and all sorts of things that you have to consider. You know, a lot of brides say, I need to lose weight before my wedding. These, you know, you need to be who you are and make sure that your husband, when he sees you at the end of the aisle, knows that it is in fact
the woman he proposed to.
Yes.
I hope my producer is taking notes. There is a wedding on the horizon,
yes,
and I've been having this conversation with her as well, that he asked you to marry him as you are now, and that is the person he wants to marry. So why try and be something different or someone different?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Elbeth, lovely to have you with us today. Is there a website or a Facebook page we can direct listeners to if they'd like to take a look at your work?
Yes, it's www.elbethgillis.com. And then the Facebook is Elbeth Gillis Couture.
And Gillis is spelled with two L's, so G-I-L-L-I-S. Lovely conversation, Bianca. So nice to be able to spend a bit of time deconstructing the dress, as it were. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Pippa. See you next month.